Today's daf is Kaf Bet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. Go back to... Here, I'll just review a little and then we'll start. So in the Mishnah on Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph, it was talking about people who could get multiple Averot. So really it's the top of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet is the case, right at the top of that page. Okay, you could have a case where somebody plows a mound and will be chayav 8 lavim. Hachoresh b'shor b'chamor, you could use two animals. That's, you know, you shouldn't work with two different animals together. Kilayim. V'hem mukdashim, and they could be hekdesh, that was nifdeh. If you have a kodshim animal and you're allowed to, if a mum falls on it, you're allowed to redeem it, and then you can eat it, but you can only eat it, you can't work it. So if you work an animal that's like in that status, so you're not allowed. Vikilayim bekaren, and it could be a case where right, this is where you're, right, if you're what's the case? You're covering up the land while, right, you're covering up seeds while you're doing it. Ubashvi'id, and it's the Shnat Shemitah. And it's Yom Tov, and a Kohen and Nazir Bebeit HaTumah. You were doing this, by the way, in a cemetery, and you were a Kohen and a Nazir. Okay, so that's the... Okay, we're gonna skip the rest for right now. Then the Gemara asks a question, so now we're up to... So then, in the process of... You have to understand a whole bunch of things here. The first thing Rabbi Yannai said there on that case about the Yesh Choresh Telem, we're now like 6 lines down into the Gemara. Okay, if you cover up seeds with, right, the assumption here with kilayim is with the animals, right, that you're using two different animals to do it, you're covering up seeds, you're chayav. Okay, you get malkot for this. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, isn't this our Mishnah? Yesh choresh telem echad, so why you mechadesh us this halacha? That says explicitly in our Mishnah. And then, okay, then they get off on a bunch of things. So now I'm going to skip down to, Amar Le Ula L'Rav Nachman. Okay? So we're about 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Le Ula L'Rav Nachman, V'lil Keinami Mishum Zorea B'Yom Tov. But according to this, if what Rabbi Yana is saying is true, the Ha'chofe B'Kilayim Loke Mishum Zorea, okay, because you're planting, so then in that case, shouldn't our Mishnah have included not only Choresh, but also Zorea? Because if you're basically, right, if what we said you're doing is you're basically also Zorea B'Yom Tov, in which case you're also Choresh and you're also Zorea. So he says, Amalei, Tana Bashir, oh, the Tana just left that out. It's a very strange answer, because if the Tana mentioned 8 things that you're Chayav, and in doing those 8 things you're also, you know, if you're Chofebe, Bekilayim, and you're Lokeh, then basically we should have added Zorea to the list also. So he says, we just left it off. So Amarle, Tana Katani Shmona V'Atam Artana V'Shir, how can that possibly be that he gave a list of 8 and you're saying, oh, we left some stuff over? It makes no sense. So Amarava, Yesh Chiluk Melachot B'Shabbat V'Ein Chiluk Melachot B'Yom Tov. In other words, the idea being that you're chayav in Harisha and you're chayav in Zri'ah because they're two separate melachot. And we learned in Shabbat that if you do a number of melachot, even Behalei Mecha, right, you're chayav to bring multiple korbanot. So in this case, you should have been, in other words, there's no, what they're answering is, that only works for Shabbat, that you get separate punishments for each melacha, but not on Yom Tov. So Amalei, Adetehei. Okay, this is in fact true. So now they say, really? Eti ve'abaye, Abaye questions, ve'en chiluk melachot b'yom tov. Is this really not true? V'hatnan. There's a Mishnah that says, ha'mevashel b'gid. Okay, this is the gid anasheh, which is forbidden. Let's say you cook the gid. There's going to be another one of those cases where you get multiple malkot. Mevashel gid b'chalav. It's confusing, right? It sounds like gid b'chalav. If you're mevashel gid b'chalav, b'yom tov, v'achlo, lokech chamesh. Okay, so you cook this meat of the gid with milk on Yom Tov, and you eat it, you get 5, okay? Loke mishum, ochel gid, right? You have to have a sense of humor to get all these cases.
It's like a game, like how many of them can we put
exactly,
in
the exactly, right. How much of a crazy case? Wait till you see where they go on today, okay? So you ate the gid anasher, which is forbidden, so you get malka for that. Lo kemishum mevashel b'yom tov. You cooked on yom tov shelo letzarech. Why is it shelo letzarech?
Because
you're not allowed to eat it. Yafeh. So it's shelo letzarech because you can't eat. You can't cook food that you're not allowed to eat. Lo kemishum mevashel gid b'chalav. Okay, milk and meat. Lo kemishum ochel basar b'chalav. Right, we know it's forbidden also to cook it and also to eat it. Vilo kemishum havara, and you lit a fire in order to cook it. So that was also forbidden. You could have, but remember, we're trying to come up with the maximum that you could get in an act. So here's the maximum. And if in fact it's true that ein chiluk melachot b'yom tov, mishum havara lo machayev. If you're already chayv in bishul, then you're not also going to be chayv in havara, because we say ein chiluk melachot b'yom tov, and therefore you should only get one malkot for however many acts you do. So they say, instead of saying we still want to stay with ein chiluk melachot b'yom tov, so we're going to say that maybe there was a mistake in this source, and what it should say is apik havara, take out havara off the list. Va'ayil, and add instead of that, gid hanasheh shel nevela. Okay, you ate a gid hanasheh that died, right, that was killed in a way that wasn't shechted. That's all sounds like a good option.
If you're not supposed to eat it, you're already not supposed to eat it. Why would it also be worse?
Well, they're saying it's another chiyuv of nevela. It's additional. In other words, you're not allowed to eat this. Besides, you're not allowed to eat it unless you shecht it properly. So you also are chayv for eating a nevela. It's if we're playing this game and we're adding loving, then this would be another one. So then they say, yeah, but that doesn't make sense, because Hatani Rabbi Chiya, didn't Rabbi Chiya have a braita about this Mishnah that says, by the way, it's a Mishnah? It's a braita, sorry. It said Vahatnan in the Gemara, but the Masoret HaShas fixes it to Hatanya. So it's not right. Hatnan is a Mishnah and Hatanya is a braita. So here it's just a mistake. You know why they make mistakes there, because they wrote Vaha tuf nun, and then they wrote a chupchik. So people sometimes thought it was Tanan and Tanya, and they didn't remember, was this a Mishnah, was it not a Mishnah? So anyway, this is a Braita. So now he says, okay, but Rabbi Chiya said about this Braita that in this case he categorized them. And what did he say? Lokesh shtayim al achilato, vishalosh al bishulo. What would the shalosh al bishulo be? Bishul basar bechalav. Bishul v'yom tov, and what's left, it must be havara, right? If we're going to say, v'im ita, if you want to say, the issue was gira nashash on nevela, then it should have been shalosh al achilato hu chayav, right? It would have been three for eating, because nevela is an issue of eating, and havara is an issue of cooking, so the categorization of Rabbi Chiya makes no sense, so you can't say it was a mistake in the braita that goes that way. But then they're going to say, so we can find you a different one. We can tell you it was something else that would make, and as we have to fit into Rabbi Chiya's categorization, that there were three that were for cooking. So el apik havara, take out havara, and instead put in its place va'ayil atze ashera. It's that he was cooking with trees that were taken from an atze ashera from avodah zara. Va'azharte mehacha, and here's his azhara, v'lo yidbak b'cha me'uma. Right, minacherim l'man yeshuv Hashem echaron apo. This is when you conquer, right? You shouldn't leave anything over from their stuff. That's avodah zarah. Okay, so here would be your isra. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei d'rava le Rav Ashi. But according to that, v'lo kenami mishuv v'lo tavito eval beitecha. There's another isra. If you use these atzei asherah, what have you also done? You've done two things. You've bun nidbak, that you've nidbak yadcha with this avodah zarah, you've connected yourself to this avodah zarah, but in addition, you've also brought a toev al beitecha. So then you'd be chayev shesh, malkuyot, and nachamesh. So if you put atzei asher in the list, you're going to add two and not one, and that also doesn't fit. Ela hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon shebishlu ba'atzei hekdesh. Okay, you used hekdesh to burn your stuff, something that was holy, to God, va'azharate mehacha. Vashrehentis refum ba'esh, lo tasun ken l'Hashem Elokechem. Okay, you're supposed to burn their asherah, but you're not allowed to do that to Hashem. And therefore, you're not allowed to use hekdesh to burn things. Okay, it's not a good use. It's not a respectful use of hekdesh. And therefore, that would be your fifth. Okay, so we've now answered the question about chiluk melachot b'yom tov, and why, if he says that ha'chofe b'kilayim is aser mishum zorea, why we didn't add that to the list of the Mishnah, and there was also choresh and also zorea b'yom tov. So they say, because ein chiluk melachot b'yom tov, and that wouldn't have added an additional one to the list. Okay. Now we're going to, here's a siman, shanvai shanaz. Okay, there's going to be 8 additional questions on this Mishnah. Why couldn't the Mishnah have brought additional isurei lavim? If we're coming up with creative cases, so let's come up with some more creative. It could have been a much longer list, okay? 8 more things could have been added. Matzkif, these are simanim based on the names of the rabbis, like Shin is Rabbi Hoshaya. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you'll see, they somehow connect to the names of who asked the questions. Matkif la Rav Hoshaya. The lichshav nami hazorea b'nachal leitan. Okay, what's nachal leitan? That's the place where you're supposed to burn. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk from Dvarim Kaf Aleph Dalet in the Egla Arufa case. When you have a city, you find a dead body in the middle of two cities, you measure the closest city, and then you break the neck of the you take an egel, you break the neck, and you say, Yadenu lo shavcha dam zeh, etc. So it says here, V'oridu ziknei ha'ir ahi et ha'egla el nachal leitan. Okay, you bring it to this nachal leitan, asher lo ye aved ba. Okay, you're not allowed to work there, okay, Velo yizarea, and you can't plant there. Okay, it's a place where we're not allowed to plant. So now we're going to say, let's say that the planting that we're talking about happened in this Nachal Eitan. Okay, Nachal Eitan is, some people say, there's a particular location, or maybe it means a strong Nachal, from the word Eitan, meaning strength. Okay, that's a particular type of nachal. It doesn't necessarily have to be a particular location, this place called Nachal Eitan, but a certain type of place, and then you're not allowed to work that land at all. So, hazorea b'nachal Eitan v'asarteh mehach asher lo yaveh bo v'lo yizarea. Matkifla, so that was the first question. Why don't we just say that this happened in Nachal Eitan? We could have added an additional one. Matkifla Rav Chanina v'lichshov nami ha-mocheket Hashem b'halichato. Assuming while you're plowing, you break something that had Shem Hashem on it, and then you basically be chayav also, right? That's here, Tem Hacha, v'ibadetem et shmam, this is the Avodah Zarah, you're supposed to wipe out their name, lo tasun ken l'Hashem elokechem, just like we saw before, you can't do this to your God. So you're not allowed to destroy the Shem Hashem, right? The only time we do it is the Sota, right? Which is a big deal, that right? We erase God's name. Matkifla Rabbi Avayu v'lichshov nami hakotzeitz et baharto. Okay, while you're doing this, you cut off a blemish from tzarat. Okay, a nega tzarat, which you're not allowed to do. V'asarete mehacha, here's the asara. Hishamer b'nega hatzarat. Okay, the whole pasuk is lishmor ma'ov v'lasot kechol asher yiru etchem hakohanim haleviim asher tzivitem tishmu lasot. You're not allowed to deal with it yourself. You have to take it to the Kohen. So you're not allowed to cut off a nega tzarat that you have. And let's say while you're in the process of plowing, again, there's a bit of a debate about whether your machresha does it, as you're in the plowing act, you kind of plow off your nega somehow. Okay, so then you would also get malkot. Matkifla abaye v'lichshav nami ha-meziach ha-choshe me'al ha-efod v'ha-masir badei aron. Okay, let's say while you're doing this, there's a kohen there, and with your machresha somehow, again, there's a bit of a debate about whether you're doing this toch kedei the harisha, because the assumption is, it must be the case is that it's all happening with one act of plowing, or some people say maybe just while you're plowing somehow you're also doing this. You basically detach the choshen from the ephod, right? The breastplate of the kohen. You detach that with all the stones on it. You detach that from his apron. Or hamasir bade aron. You have the aron there, and you're, I don't know why the aron is there. You're also doing a beta kvarot. The whole thing is very strange. But you kind of take off the poles on the aron. Vazherte mehacha. Okay, here's the ashara. B'taba'ot ha'aron yiyu abadim lo yasuru mimenu. Okay, they have to stay on the aron. You're not allowed to take them off. So if you take them off, then you be a chayev. And the pasuk about the choshen is v'yirkasu et ha'choshen mitaba'otav el taba'ot ha'efod. Right, they have to be put on the rings of the efod. B'petil tzchele liyot achesh ha'efod v'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod. Okay, and it can't be taken off. So here, if you would take it off, you'd be chayav alav. Matkifla Rav Ashi, this is definitely a game of creativity, right? Who could get the most creative of coming up with the most wild case possible? V'lif shavnami ha-choresh ba'atzei ashera, just like we said, right? Maybe you made your machresha out of atzei ashera. Like before, you were burning with the atzei ashera. Maybe here you were plowing with atzei ashera. And that's from lo yidbak b'yadcham u'ma. Matkif laravina v'lichshav nami ha-kotzeitzi lanotovot. While you're plowing, you knock down good fruit trees. V'asaratem ha-cha ki mimenu tochava oto lo tichrod. You're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. Amrala Rabbi Zera la Rabbi Meni, v'lichshav nami, this is, I think, the last one, kigonda amar shvua shelo echrosh b'yom tov. Maybe you say, I swear I'm not going to be choresh b'yom tov, and then you do this act, which is chayav all these lavim, then you're going to be chayav also on being over on your shvua. So then they say, oh no, that's different. Why is that different? Hatam lo kachal shvua, mushba v'omeh, mehar sinai hu. There, your shvua, okay, so we didn't have an answer to all those other questions, but this one we have an answer. Your shvua is irrelevant because your mushba ba'ome mehar sinai, meaning you're already forbidden to do this. So if you swear you're not going to do something that's already forbidden by the Torah, your shvua just doesn't apply. Okay, because ain shvua chal al shvua. Okay, and there's already a pre-existing shvua. So now they say, Amar le kigon de amar shvua shalach rosh bein b'chol bein b'yom tov. But maybe the case would be you swore not to ever plow, not on Yom Tov and not on Chol, and then demigo dechali alei shvua b'chol, chali alei nami b'yom tov. If you had said, I swear I'm not going to do it on Yom Tov, so your shvua is not chal. But here, your shvua has a place lachul, because of all the days of Chol, you're allowed to plow. In which case, once your shvua is chal on non-Yom Tov days, it will also end up being chal on Yom Tov. And then when you plow on Yom Tov, you will be over on that shvua, so maybe that's the case. So they say, so maybe there's a different reason why this one somehow they seem to have a lot of answers for. Midi di'ita b'she'ela lo katane. The mission is not relating to things that that you can repeal, is that the way you'd say it? You can,
annul.
What?
Annul.
Annul. That you can annul. Okay, so if you can cancel it out and you won't end up with the shvua, you can always say, you can go to a chacham and you can be matir your shvua. Okay, there's particular cases where you're allowed to do this. So then, the mission was only referring to things that are final, right? That you can't get rid of plowing on Yom Tov, okay? There's no way around it. But a shvua that I won't plow, bein b'chol, bein b'yom tov, that is chal, you know, can't, maybe that's why the mission didn't mention it. They say, really? Below? Vare hekdesh. What about hekdesh? Hekdesh also in theory. And what did we say? You're using psulei hamukdashim. And with plowing, that was one on the list. That's something you can annul. So they say, no, maybe the hekdesh they were talking about was bibichor. A bichor is something that's kadosh merechem. You can't get rid of the kadosh on that. You can't. Whereas if you designate something for a korban, maybe there's a way to annul something. But in this case, you can't annul it. Vahare nazir, what about a nazir? You can be annul your nizirut. Okay, that's something that there is b'sheila. So they say b'nazir shimshon. It's in a case of nazir shimshon. You say, I'm going to be a nazir shimshon. In which case, b'nazir shimshon, right, a nazir shimshon, you're not allowed to ever annul. So they say, but wait, it makes no sense that you should say nazir shimshon, because nazir shimshon, bari itamuye lemeitimhu. Nazir Shimshon is allowed to be mitame lamet. Okay, this was something the rabbis had a masoret about. Okay, it's not clear where the source is, but I mean, you can probably guess where it comes from. If Shimshon was obviously killing people all the time, okay, I mean, he was killing non-Jews mostly, but you got to feel like he was just somehow associated with lots of dead bodies and stuff. And it's hard to imagine that he was not mitame lamet. I'm assuming that's where it comes from. Anyway, there was this masoret that Nazir Shimshon was allowed to be mitame lamed. It was a different type of nizirut. If you remember, we learned in Nazir, we learned about the different differences between Nazir Shimshon and the regular nizirut. Ella, height. So now we don't have a good reason why, as it can't be that it's mididita b'she'ela lo katane, because clearly we have cases that are. So in the end, the answer, Ella haitana isro kola leitle. The Tana of our Mishnah didn't abide by this concept that if you say Shvua Shelo Echrosh Bein B'chol Bein B'sheila, which is a Shvua Kolelet, that it's going to be Chal even on Yom Tov. No, they said, no. It's not Chal on Yom Tov. A Shvua Shelo echrosh, even bein b'chol bein b'yom tov, is going to apply regular, but it's not going to, on a regular day, but it's not going to apply in yom tov, and that's why it wasn't in the list. Okay, now we have two final cases before we get to the next. Mishnah Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Hamarbiya Shur Psuleh. This is a different thing. We're done with the questions. Now we're just talking about another case. If you're Marbiya, you mate a Shur Psuleh Hamukdashim Lokeshnaim. You mate a Shur that had a Balmum, you were Podeh, and what are you allowed to do with it? What did we say? You're allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to work it. So comes Rabbi Yoshaya, and he says, if you're Marbiya, then you Lokeshnaim. He views Marbiya as Avodah. There's a bit of a debate about whether Marbiya would actually be Avodah or not, because Avodah is usually actually working the animal. Here you just kind of put an animal next to another to mate, but the animal does it himself, really. So that's a bit of a question. According to this, right, by the way, the source for this not being able to work with Kodshim comes from this pasuk, Lo Tavo B'Bechor Shorecha. And some people say that, some people say this is only Asher Midurabanan, okay, to do this. In other words, it's not really Avoda, it's like semi-Avoda, and it would only be Asher Midurabanan. But he views this, obviously, as it's Asher Doraita, and says you get Malka for it. And additionally, what's the Shnaim? The second one, this is an interesting one, it says, one second, I just want to see what else I wrote here. Okay, so now what do we have here? We take this shore that's Psulei HaMukdashim, that we were podeh, and we made it with a cow. Okay, that's the same family, an ox and a cow. But what's the problem? One is kodesh and one is chol. And because of that, that's going to be considered kilayim. Okay? That's kilei behemtecha. So that's why you get shnayim, according to him. Okay? You've cross-breeded animals, because one is chol and one is kodesh, and you've worked the animal, because marbiya is to work the animal. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, hamanhig bishur psulei mukdashim loke. Sharei guf echadu vaso'a katuv kishnei gufim. He says also, this is going to be kilayim. This is even more interesting. This is the same animal you work. Okay, he says, this is a crazy thing. If you, okay, the shot is he's manhik, he's leading the animal. Now, Tosfos says you can't possibly be leading the animal. Tosfos says it has to be, if you look at the last Tosfos, v'davke I Moshe chashur masoi bigufo. If you have him carry a load. Because if it's manhig, Tosfot says, you'd never be able to manhig shore to lead it from one place to the other. You'd be stuck with this. If your shore gets a balamum, and you want to be podeh, and then you want to eat it, and you want to get it to a certain location so you could do the shechiting, you'd never be allowed to do that, according to this. So what does he say? It means that you basically, you're manhig the shore with a load on it, so you're making him work. And he says, you're loket, because what have you done here? Forget about working the animal. He's not even talking about that. Really, lokeshnaim, but the topic for him is kilayim. You're basically manhig an animal with kilayim because you have, within that one animal, two types. Because part of him is chol, you can eat him, and part of it is hektish, that you're not allowed to work it, because it was hektish. So we've used it as kilayim. The really interesting part here is that the Rivan, okay, I forgot to mention this, by the way, 2 days ago, okay, Rashi died, if you look on Yud Tet Amud Bet, about nine lines down to Rashi. I meant to mention this. So there was this sugya about, they were talking about Tum and Tara, and it says, Rabbeinu Gufo Tahor, it's in parentheses there. Okay, Rabbeinu meaning Rashi, Gufo Tahor, his body is holy. V'yatzan Nishmato B'tahara, and he died B'tahara. In other words, he died right here dealing with the Tahor source. Remember the story of Rabbi Elizabeth Horkinus, V'yatzan Nishmato B'tahara. Okay, so from this point on, it's a student. Okay, there were a few times where we saw this. Usually it says, Kam Mate Rashi or something. This time it says it in this way. Okay, the Yatsan Ishmatoba Tahor, and Rashi dies. So from here on, and it's the Rivan talking. So he says here very interestingly, if you look at the very last line before, it says Matnitin, it's four lines from the bottom. He says, "V'lo shamati ra'aya minalan dechulin v'kodshim kilaim zebazeh." I never heard a good proof as to how we can say that this animal has chulin and kodshim, and that that's kilaim. This one, right? Usually, it's two different types. Whoever said chulin and kodshim is kilaim v'davar teimahu, and he says it's a very strange halacha. So it's interesting he points that out. Okay, moving on to the next mission. Kama malkinoto, how many malkot does one get? So we now finish this list of all these cases where you get malkot. We started with Elohein Elokin, then we got into cases where you get multiple malkuyot for various things. Now we want to know how many malkot you get. Arba'im chaser echad, right? This is very famous. You actually get 39, even though it says Arba'im yakenu lo yosif, 40, don't add any more. They learn from here, 39. Shneamar bimispar arba'im. Okay, so now what does this mean? Bimispar arba'im. So if you, what is it? Where do we even get? Where does it say in the pasuk bimispar arba'im? It actually says arba'im yakenu lo yosif, but the pasuk reads like this: V'hayayim bin hakota rasha. We're in Devarim kafe pasuk bet and gimel. V'pilah shofet v'kaw lefanav kedei rishato. Right. So if we go to hit the rasha, the shofet is mapiloto. We'll get to this soon. V'kaw lefanav kedei rishato. He hits him according to his bad deed that he did, bimispar, according to a number. Next pasuk is arba'im yakenu lo yosif, 40 he should hit him, but don't add any more. Pen yosif lakoto al ele makaraba, lest he come to hit him too much. Vinikle achicha leinecha, and your brother should be will be embarrassed in front of you. This pasuk could read a bunch of different ways. Don't add to those 40 a makarabah because your brother will end up being embarrassed unnecessarily, right? It'll be too much. Or don't add too many lakot alei lemakarabah, period, or big comma. And then, v'diklachich aleinecha, through the mechanism of malkot, your brother will be embarrassed, which he deserves to be embarrassed. And we're going to see that there's a whole issue of embarrassment by the person who gets malkot. It's going to come up. Okay, so now what's this mispar ba'im? It's the last word in the previous pasuk and the next word in the next pasuk. Often the Gemara does that, where they connect two words, one from the end, one from the beginning, and they say bimispar ba'im, that it means minayin chu samuch la'arba'im. Okay, from here we learn that it has to be close to 40. Bimispar, that gets close to 40. Okay, that's how they understand it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Arba'im Shleimot Huloke. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you actually get 40 Malkot. Behechan Huloke Tayitera. Now, there was this assumption, which we're going to see later, that you would do a third on the front, on your stomach, and two-thirds on the person's back, which gets you up to, right, if you're going to do a third and two-thirds, so that would be 39, which is divisible by 3. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, where do you do the last one? If a third is on your stomach and two-thirds are on your back, where's the third? Where's the last one? Bank tefaf, between his shoulders. Okay, which we're going to see later what his source is. Ein umdinoto ela b'makot ruyot lihishtalesh. Now we learn, okay, instead of the Mishnah telling us we do an omed and we assess how much can this person get, the Mishnah just assumes you know that. And they say when we read, let's say there's someone who's weak and they can't handle so many malkot, so what do? We assess how many malkot this person could get. We bring a doctor, I guess, someone who knows medically how much this person can handle, and they assess. But they always assess it in multiples of 3. Okay, it has to be a number divisible by 3. You can't get 2 malkot. You can't get 8 malkot. It has to be divisible by 3. So, eino dinato ela makot riyo lishtalesh. Okay, now next case. Amdu lekabel arba'im viloke miktzat. Let's say they think he can handle 40. They give him or her part of them, v'amdu she'ein yechol lekabel arba'im, and then they reassess and they say, wait a minute, this person can obviously not handle this. Patur, they become patur from everything. In other words, they've started, as long as they got some of the malkot, it's okay. Amdu hu lekabel shmona esrei, let's say they assess the person could get 18, umishalaka, but while they're in the middle, they realize this person can handle it. Amdu she'echolu lekabel arba'im, they assess that you can get 40, patur. Also, you're patur from getting 40. In other words, we rely on the first omed. Okay, the first assessment works. Now the Gemara starts off. My time. Iktiv arba'im b'mispar, hava mina arba'im b'minyana. Hash dichtiv mispar arba'im. Minayin shusokhem et arba. Minayin shusokhem et arba'im. Wait 1 second. The Gemara is asking here, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda, right? No, or oh no, we're saying what's the reason for the 39? And they say, because if it said arba'im b'mispar, then I would have thought havamina arba'im b'minyana. Okay, so I would have thought arba'im b'mispar would make sense. 40 in number, that would mean 40. But hash tadichtiv b'mispar arba'im, then we learn from there that minayin shu sochem et ha'arba'im. In other words, the assumption is that we take an amount that reaches 40, but not isn't actually 40. Amar Rava. Rava makes a very interesting statement. Kama tipshai shar inche, dekaime mekame sefer Torah, velo kaime mekame gavre Rava. How stupid are people that they bow before, they stand up before a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for Talmidei Chachamim. De'ilu b'Sefer Torah k'tiv arba'im, v'ad sh'rabbanan batru chada. He says, you guys think you have a lot of respect for the Torah, but you have no respect for Talmidei Chachamim. How could that possibly be? Because look at what power Talmidei Chachamim have. And here's our proof from our case. The Torah says 40, and the rabbis have the power to say, oh no, 40 actually means 39. And he says, go use that as your proof that the Chachamim should get more respect than a Sefer Torah. Okay? Now, it's a very strange statement. It happens to contradict statements in other places where a Sefer Torah is looked at more critically, that, you know, more importantly. I think this is in Kiddushin where it talks about it. But I don't actually think that he means this halacha l'masa, that he's not giving a... if one comes before the other and you have to choose, I don't think it's made as a halachic statement. I think my reading of this is that he's really going against like Karaim and those type people who believe only in Torah Shebichtav. And he's trying to say this shows the power of the Talmidei Chachamim. And anyone who thinks the Talmidei Chachamim don't have, you have to remember historically that those are things they were dealing with. And that he was trying to say, here's your perfect proof that Chachamim have a lot more power than the Torah itself and they can interpret it as they want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Arba'im Shlemot. So now Rabbi Yehuda says 40 full lashes. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time into Rabbi Yehuda. What's his source? So now we're going to bring a pasuk from Zechariah. Dichtiv ma hamakot ha'ele ben yadecha. Okay, so maybe we should look at the whole section there in Zechariah because it's going to be a little bit important to see. So in Zechariah, Perek Yud Gimel, just open it in the Tanakh. There's this section about the Nevi'eh Sheker. So it says, okay, on that day, Vayabayom Ahun, Um Hashem, Tzvaot, Achrit et Shemot Ha'atzabim min Ha'aretz, right, the Avodah Zara, V'lo Yizachru Od, V'gam et Nevi'im V'et Ruach HaTumah Avir min Ha'aretz. Okay, also the Nevi'im of Avodah Zara. V'haya ki Yinabei Ish Od, if somebody does try to falsely testify, V'amru elav, we say to him, Aviv v'imo yoldav lo tichyeh. Okay, your father and mother, the ones they gave birth to, will not live. Ki sheker dibarta b'shem Hashem. U'dikaruhu avihu v'imo yoldav b'hinavo. And his father and mother will stab him because of what he prophesizes. V'ya v'yomu yevoshu ha'nevi'im ish mechazyono b'inabuto. Okay, and they'll be embarrassed, etc. Okay, and then it says, Va'amar elav. Okay, so then, Va'amar lo navi anochi, Yishaved adama anochi. So then, Va'amar elav, Maha makot ha'ele ben yadecha. Va'amar asher huketi beit ma'avai. So then they're going to say to this Navi, what are these makot that you got? And he says, it's because I was hit by the house of the people who love me, meaning a reference to his parents, that we said are going to be the ones hitting him. Okay, so here we have this case of a Navi Sheker that gets hit. And where does he get hit? Bein yadecha. What's bein yadecha? The assumption is like the back of your neck, between your shoulders. Okay, so now they say, so ma makota ele bein yadecha. Va'amar shuketi beit ma'avai. Okay, so the assumption is that there's such, this guy got malko bein ktefav, and we don't see that in the 39 lashes, so it must be the 40th one is bein ktefav, just like this guy. So now, Rabbanan, what are they going to do with this pasuk? For Rabbanan, this is why I read them inside. These are the kind of makot that someone gets when their mother and father or their teacher beats them up to teach them a lesson. That's not malkot that we think of, right? That's just a kid getting beaten up, and you see it because dekaruhu aviv v'imo yoldav, right? They're the ones who hit him. This is more like a reprimand of a parent. This isn't meant to teach you anything about malkot in the court. Einum dinoto ele b'makot haru'uyot. So now if you remember in the Mishnah, and we're going to have now a comparison to the source and another source which seems to contradict. So let's get our Mishnah well. Our Mishnah said that if you assessed him at 40 and then you decided the person can only get less, so what do? If you already started giving the lashes, then they're patur. Then they stop wherever you're up to. Even if you didn't even give them what you think they can get, once you already did that, the assumption here, by the way, is that they've already become embarrassed by getting lashes and there's no need to continue anymore. And likewise, if you thought they could get a little, and then you reassess, and you think they could get more, again, if they already got, then you don't have to give them any more, even though now you think they could get more. So this is only if they started getting lashes. But the assumption is, okay, laka'in, lo laka'lo. But if they didn't get any lashes, then we cancel out the first assessment and redo. We have a brand new assessment, and we go by whatever the new assessment says. Right? Because this whole thing meant we stick with the original assessment. But that's only in the case where you actually started giving the lashes. But if you didn't start giving the lashes, then we go by the new assessment. So that seems to contradict, Uriminhu, amduhu lekabel arba'im, v'chazru v'amdu she'en yachol lekabel arba'im, patur. And notice what's missing here. The word imlaka patur. Here it says, no matter what, you're patur. Vamdu lekabel shmonasre, v'chazru vamdu sheyachol lekabel arba'im. Again, the second case, they thought they could only get 18, and it turns out they decided he could get 40. You're patur. In other words, we basically say, even if you didn't get malkot, you're already patur. So, how can we resolve this contradiction? Am rav sheshet lo kashya. Had amduhu liyome. Had amdu lemachar uliyoma ochara. One is a case where you evaluated him for today and then you started giving the lashes. The other is the case where you assessed him for a future day. Okay? And now, how does this work? So if you assessed him for a future day and then you and then came the future day, let's say you assessed him for a week from now. And then by the next week, he got sick. Okay, or she got sick. So now what happens? Your first assessment was good. You did it correctly. It's just that now we can't uphold it because the person's sick and they can't handle it. Or they were sick at the time you assessed and they got better in a week and they could handle it when it comes time to give the lashes. But then it doesn't matter whether they got the lashes or not. Your first assessment was sufficient because you didn't. Let's put it this way. Maybe we have to compare it to the first case. In the first case, if you amduhu liyomo for that exact day and then you start giving the lashes and then you realize that you made a mistake, well, then you made a mistake and your first omed is canceled. Okay? And then if your first omed is canceled, then there is no omed, basically. Let's say you didn't even start giving lashes. So if you started giving lashes, so you already did something, the person's already embarrassed. We're going to talk about embarrassment in different ways. There's different ways we can embarrass you. We're going to see all sorts of other different ways also. But one way of embarrassing you is you get lashes. Another assumption is that just by assessing how many lashes you can handle, that's a level of embarrassing a person. Now, if your assessment was wrong, then that's not considered that we embarrass the person. So in our Mishnah, what did we have? They assessed him. They didn't yet give him lashes, right? Assuming the inference from our Mishnah. So, right, the case of our Mishnah was they already gave him lashes, so he's embarrassed. But let's say they didn't start giving him lashes, and then they realize they made a mistake. So their first assessment is totally canceled, so you're left with nothing. So we now have to start giving him lashes based on the new assessment. So if they said 18 and now they say 40, the person gets 40. If they said 40 and now they say 18, so the person gets 18. We go by the future, right, the second assessment, because the second assessment cancels out the first. But if they assessed him today for the week from now, and in a week from now his situation or her situation deteriorated or improved, The first assessment is valid because we assessed you for today, and that day you were assessed properly. Nobody made a mistake. It's just that the situation changed. At that point, the assessment is no longer relevant, so we can't give you lashes based on the original assessment. But we don't even need to make a new assessment because you didn't make a mistake in the assessment. So your assessment stands, and if your assessment stands, well, then the person was already embarrassed by the court assessing how many malkot they're supposed to get, and therefore you don't actually have to administer malkot. It's a very interesting exception to the rule. Okay, avar avera sheyesh ba shnei lavim. This is okay. Now we have to talk about the practical elements of what we just said in the previous Mishnah about, you know, the few Mishnah to go about. Someone can get 5 malkot, 8 malkot. What does that mean? How many lashes can we possibly give a person? So they're going to just give a case of shnei lavim. So let's say it's 2 lavim. Amduhu omed echad loke upatur. Vim lav loke umitrape v'choser v'loke. If they assess him right away for both, and they say, okay, well, let's see. The person's supposed to get 39 plus 39, but they can only handle X amount. So they basically make their assessment based on the fact that they're shnei lavim. So then they get whatever malkot there are in their patur. But if they only assess him for one at a time, then you have to be loke, wait till they get better, and then choser v'loke for the second one. So basically, the court should be smart and assess them all at once, and then, you know, even though you're over in 6 malkot, you're not going to necessarily get 6 times 39, right? You're going to get a lot less than that. Okay, there's a big debate in this Mishnah about whether they're talking about a case where you do one act, that within that one act, you're high of 2, let's say, on 2 lavim, or even if you get to court and they accuse you of doing this, and they accuse you of doing another act, But the psak din is given at the same time, would it be the same thing? That we can assess you with one global number? Or do we say, no, that only applies to one act, the chayav shnayim, which would be different than 2 separate acts that are each chayav separately? So there's a debate about whether this mission is talking about that or not. And obviously there's huge ramifications how you view it. So now they say, wait a minute, v'hatanya, einum din echad l'shnei lavim. But doesn't it say you can't be omer echad l'shnei lavim? You can't do one assessment for 2 lavim? Amar of sheshet lo kashya. Had amdu l'arbim v'chada, v'had amdu l'arbaim v'tarte. So now they say, you can't assess for shnei lavim, according to this now, if they're amduhu for an amount that's less than 40, okay, that's 39. That's, let's say they think that you can't get more than 39, then you can't do shnei lavim in that, okay? But as long as they go over by, right, now this, again, it has to be divisible by 3. So if they assess that you can handle 42 lashes, then we can say that that covers both your lavim. But if they say that you can only get 39, then that can't cover both, okay? So there's also a distinction within there. Okay, now we're going to get to how they actually do the malkot. Okay, new mission. Ketsa malkinoto. What do they do? Kofesh deya daval ha'amud, helach v'helach. There's a debate whether there's 1 amud or 2 amudim, 1 for each hand, or maybe just 1. They put up this short amud, that's shorter than the height of the person. They say about an amma and a half. And the person puts his hands on either side of the amud, and he bends down, basically, bows down to the height of the amud. The Chazan HaKnesset Ochez Bibagadav, and the head of the, or the, you know, not the head, the Chazan, he's like the Shlech Beit Din, grabs his clothes. Okay, now there's a whole debate. Does he grab them from his neck, or does he grab them from under, from the bottom of his shirt, right? The top of his shirt or the bottom, and he starts ripping off the shirt. Im nikru'u nikru'u, v'im nifrimu nifrimu. If they tear, they tear, and if they unravel. There's a bit of a debate. What's the difference? Is kriya a smaller break and nifrimu is a bigger tear? Is one on the seam and tearing is not on the seam and nifrimu is on the seam? There's a bit of a debate what exactly the difference is. So if they do, then they do. Ad shehu megaleh libo, until his heart is exposed. Va'evin nituna me'acharav, and there's this rock behind the person. Some people say it's to the side. Chazan HaKnesset omer alav u'ritzua biyado. So then the Chazan HaKnesset stands on this rock to be taller than the person to make it easier to hit them. And he has a ritzua in his hand, shel egel. Okay, it has to be made from an egel. Kfula, echad l'shnayim u'shnayim l'arba'a. Okay, there's a very good picture in the Koran. I'll pass it around. But we basically have two... just open this. We basically have these two loops. Okay, there's going to be two straps, two double straps, okay, which end up like four straps. It's got a strap. How do you explain it? It's got a, right, the strap itself is doubled over, like two straps sewed together, and then you make a loop, okay? Right, does that make sense? Yeah. No, two, no, sorry, it's not a double strap. It's one strap that makes a loop, and then another strap that makes a loop. So you have these two loops, basically. Okay? Echad l'shnayim, u'shnayim l'arba, right, so in theory, you see these four strips, even though they're connected, as a loop. U'shtei ritzuot shel chamor olot v'yordot ba. Okay, you might not have looked in the picture. You might not have noticed it, but there's these two thin, soft straps coming out from a chamor that come out from there. We'll see later in the Gemara what these are for. Yada tefach. The handle is a tefach, or rechava tefach, and width is a tefach. There's this wooden handle that from there is attached these ritzuot. Urasha magat ad kreso. The length of it has to be that when you hit him, so there's a whole debate about how exactly this is working, depending on whether you hit going top to bottom, or you're hitting going from bottom to top, or you're hitting going across. Most people think that you're hitting across the length of his back.
Across the width of his back?
Across the width of his back, yeah. Sorry, I said the length, I meant the width. And so you have to, like, reach the stomach, okay, from your angle on the side there. As you go across the width of his back, it has to reach to the stomach. Umakeoto shlish milefanav ushtei adot milacharav. This is what we said before. A third on his front and two-thirds on the back. Veino makeoto lo ome velo yoshev elamute. That's what we said before. The person has to be not standing, not sitting, but leaning over. Shenemar vipilo hashofet. Because we saw that pasuk before. The shofet knocks him down, so he has to be leaning over. Vamakeb, makebi yado achat b'kol kocho. And when you hit him with one hand with all your strength. We'll see later where we get that from. Vakore kore. And there's someone there who's reading these psukim, im lo tishmor la'asot, etc., ve'aflashem ha'makotcha ve'makot, etc. Okay, what are these psukim from? From the klalot. Okay, the klalot in, the klalot in Dvarim, yeah, in Sefer Dvarim. And v'chozer l'tchilat ha'mikra. And when he finishes, if they haven't finished the makot yet, he goes back to the beginning and reads from the beginning. Ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot, and then he continues and reads. Now this is very confusing, because if he goes back to the beginning, then why does he continue? So most people get rid of the words there. B'chozer l'tchilat ha'mikra, it's a mistake, because we'll see they come up later at the end. Ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot, you continue with other psukim. V'chotem v'hu rachum yichaper avon. V'chozer l'tchilat ha'mikra, and then you go back to the beginning. We're going to stop here for today. Okay, we'll finish up with the last case, which is also very interesting. What if he dies, and then we get to other things? We'll stop here for today.
Yeah,
Ben. So, right. And the other thing about B'hu Rachum, I just wanted to add here. Some people say that this is the source why we start off Marv with B'hu Rachum, because the time they would do Malka was sort of the end of the day, and that some people say that that's why B'hu Rachum is in Marv, which I thought was very interesting. I'd never heard that before. Okay.